Hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgeon here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station, and we're available online via the UK Health Radio app, and we're also available via Alexa. A rather warm welcome to Acupuncture Point. Hello, my dear friends. How are you doing? Hope you're doing very, very, very well. You are listening to Kevin Durgeon here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station, and I'm very, very pleased to say with over 1.4 million listeners every single week. I know, isn't it astonishing? Thank you so much for supporting both UK Health Radio and also little old me and my little old show, Acupuncture Point. Coming up in today's show, we are going to discuss how acupuncture can help with asthma. And you're also going to listen to something that I've written. Yes, I'm going to read something for you. I basically wrote an article recently asking why acupuncture is not currently more widespread here in the UK. And if we have time, we're also going to discover a little bit about the wood element, which is going to be coming to the front over the next few weeks as we emerge into spring. And if all that was not enough, we're also going to play another marvellous round of Game of Themes. And all you need to do, if you'd like to join in, is to see if you are able to link together all of the glorious music that I'm going to be playing for you in today's show.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears. Beef and Skittles. Cider with Rosie. Common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for being part of Acupuncture Point this week. Now, I wanted to talk to you about my experience of treating people with asthma and basically trying to share with you, give you some examples of how acupuncture can help. When you're not able to breathe, it can be one of the most terrifying experiences. And people who come to me because they suffer with asthma, they've got different sorts of asthma. It can be triggered when they exercise. It can be related to childhood, or it can actually be adult onset asthma. Now, there are lots of different reasons that that can trigger an asthma attack. It could be an allergy. I read somewhere that some Made in Chelsea person, he had a little puppy, brand new puppy, and this has triggered a terrible, terrible asthmatic response. It could be down to respiratory infections, the quality of air, so pollution, if you smoke, all sorts of different things can actually trigger an asthmatic attack. Now, asthma is the result of an inflammation in within your lungs, within your lungs, and anything that increases inflammation can trigger this. So things like allergies, pollen, smoke, particulates in the air, all of these things can trigger it. Other things can trigger it, not necessarily direct irritants. If you're on certain sorts of medication, that can trigger an attack. Screaming too loud, crying, becoming really unhappy, laughing too much, all of those things can trigger an asthmatic attack. And as can weather. So hot weather, cold weather, dry weather, all of these things can trigger an attack. So often people come to acupuncture because they've tried other medications and nothing's really helping. I have found within my clinic that acupuncture is so helpful at helping to treat people with breathing conditions. And it's actually a relatively simple treatment to do. All down your back. So if you imagine down your back, about halfway between your shoulder blades, there are two sets of acupuncture channels. So these are, if you imagine a string of beads hanging down your back, those are acupuncture points. And so what I would do is I would pop a very, very fine needle into that area, making sure that you don't go in too deep. It needs to be very, very shallow. And then I would wait and see. And very often, I would expect to see a bright red patch coming, developing an arrhythmia, developing around these acupuncture points. And that for me would be a sign of stuck, trapped energy. If you imagine, you can visualize it as a sort of stale air that you've not been able to get rid of yourself. And this is a way of all of this stuck, trapped energy leaving your body. And I have noticed, even within one treatment, people feeling calmer, and also people beginning to breathe slightly freer. It really is a very, very lovely, lovely treatment. And the amazing thing that I still find incredible, even though I've been doing this for so many years, is how quickly the results can be felt. Now, acupuncture is not a magical cure, and it can't always resolve conditions like asthma, but it can help with inflammation and it can help to calm you down. So if we've seen that some of the triggers for getting an asthmatic attack are things like extremely strong emotions, feeling too excited, feeling too stressed, feeling too unhappy, all of those things can help you to keep your asthma under control.
Look into my eyes. Tell me it's not worth.
there. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station, available online via the UK Health Radio app and also via Alexa. We would absolutely love it if you could follow us on social media. And the real reason for this is because we share positive stories, we share joy, we share the light of the world, and we just love to share this with you, really. So please, please, please do follow us on social media. Now, coming back to today's acupuncture point, I wanted to read you an article, and I'd love to hear what you think. Basically, it's something that I wrote together with a brilliant, brilliant colleague of mine. Her name is Sandra Dodgson. And we have been wondering and scratching, putting our heads together and having a good old scratch, thinking, why on earth is acupuncture not used more in the UK and all around Europe? There is so much evidence to demonstrate that acupuncture is effective and cost effective. Why isn't it not more widespread in the UK and Europe? Acupuncture and other complementary therapies are increasingly being included as part of integrative treatment plans, yet there is still a long way to go if this is to become common practice. In February 2022, the British Medical Journal, the BMJ, published an analysis of more than 2,400 systematic reviews, and these were identified between the years 2000 and 2020. And this was entitled Evidence on Acupuncture Therapies is Underused in Clinical Practice and Health Policy. This was followed on the 29th of April, again 2022, by a piece published in Time magazine, which was entitled Why Acupuncture is Going Mainstream in Medicine. In both, there is a focus on the role that acupuncture can have in an integrative approach to healthcare and a recognition of the extent of evidence demonstrating its use as an alternative or a complement to pain medication and to other treatments. Acupuncture is a Chinese medical therapy that is well known as an effective treatment for pain and other conditions. It's a practice with a multiplicity of ontologies and therapeutic models, which adds to the complexity of measuring its impact and cost effectiveness. Acupuncture is increasingly an accepted complementary therapy. For example, in Australia, where 10% of all people have received it, and 80% of general medical practitioners refer their patients to acupuncture services. The survey reported on in this paper found that nearly 85% of 544 general practitioners that were surveyed considered acupuncture to be effective and safe for primary care. Oncology acupuncture is a new and emerging field of research, and recent advances from published clinical trials have provided evidence to support the use of acupuncture for system management with cancer patients. The Time article reports on the experience of cancer patients who have found that acupuncture can reduce the nausea, numbness and neuropathy, brain fog, lowered appetite, acute and chronic pain, and the mood changes that patients experience with cancer care. In a British Society for Integrative Oncology, they recently had a blog post on key integrative oncology principles and future directions in the UK. Dr. Nina Fuller-Sharvel shared findings from a 2019 paper that includes some key components of an integrative oncology consultation. Acupuncture was introduced as a symptom control modality for fatigue, nausea and vomiting, neuropathy, dry mouth and hot flashes. The 2022 European Council's plan for addressing cancer notes that in 2020, 1.7 million people in the European Union were diagnosed with cancer, and describes the quality of life of cancer patients and survivors as one of the four key areas where they believe they can add most value. The NHS long-term plan for cancer has a shift in focus from how long people live after diagnosis to how well and how long they live. The UK plan also has a focus on the provision of accessible information about coping with side effects before, during, and after cancer treatment as part of a personalised care and support approach. The BMJ article would suggest that there is a growing body of appropriate evidence, and yet there are still hurdles to surmount. In this article, the writers describe the large body of evidence for acupuncture, which their analysis shows to be generally methodologically rigorous, sorry about that, and yet acupuncture studies are often perceived as low quality. This leads us to ask the question, when it comes to health policy and clinical practice, what evidence would be acceptable to the scientific community, regulators, health policymakers and governments, and healthcare practitioners, with all their different perspectives and requirements? In a comparison of the regulation of acupuncture in France and the UK, some researchers explore the integration of acupuncture into biomedical-based healthcare. They describe this integration as conditional, where acupuncture may carve itself a space within the main healthcare system, but always through a certain negotiation. A negotiation influenced by history, national identities, professional traditions, and power dynamics. They describe how acupuncture's presence in healthcare is more than the matter of knowledge gained through evidence. It is also a social and organisational conundrum for this heterogeneous practice of care. This adds to the complexity of building on the work of practitioners that have championed integration and bringing about more universal changes in practice. These researchers go on to describe acupuncture as a commodity regulated in the marketplace, not as a healing practice. And it will be interesting to see what may result following the change that took place in 2020, when the UK Office for National Statistics, the ONS, reviewed acupuncturists and recognised them as therapy professionals rather than health associate professionals. This placed them in a group alongside other professionals such as physiotherapists, speech and language therapists, and clinical psychologists. And this meant that they were able to treat patients during COVID restrictions. Is this a step that will support acupuncture gaining recognition as a healing practice? And could this facilitate greater engagement from biomedical-based healthcare? In considering the route to facilitating greater use of acupuncture in integrative care plans, is there something that acupuncture can learn from the approach taken to embedding social prescribing in health policy? When Dr. Michael Dixon, chair of the College of Medicine, spoke at the European Congress for Integrative Medicine in November 21, he debated the question, how much does evidence matter when driving health policy. He went on to say that objective evidence isn't enough on its own to drive policy. And he describes an inbuilt inertia in the system and how historical or vested interests act as blockages, and that social prescribing is now national policy and implemented across the country, but that many academics still consider the evidence insufficient. He believes achieving this was the result of a combination of the strength and reach of patient stories. All levels of the health service and politicians seeing the logic, clinicians as activists engaging closely with politicians and managers and patients in the NHS, all playing a part. How can such heterogeneous practices come together to facilitate greater access to what they offer in an integrative approach to cancer care? When considering health policy, a key element is funding, and the question arises as to whether acupuncture is sufficiently proven to be authorised, integrated into health systems, and publicly financed. Public funding of healthcare looks at a number of factors, with cost effectiveness being one of them. In the UK, when a new treatment is offered, is it affordable and of equal or better value than existing approaches are questions that are considered by the National Institute for Clinical Effectiveness, NICE. In a 2021 publication reporting on a meeting to discuss integrative oncology, Israel, Spain, Belgium, Italy, USA and France, public funding is described as patchy in most countries, with services often provided through charitable endeavours and volunteer services, which they suggest can be an impediment to integration with biomedical approaches to cancer care. There is increasing evidence for the financial benefits of acupuncture. More generally, evidence from the US indicates that complementary and alternative medicine, including acupuncture, is associated with significantly lower healthcare spending among patients with chronic back pain, primarily the result of reducing prescribing and outpatient costs. In 2021, NICE included acupuncture for certain conditions in their guidance on the management of chronic pain, and in 2020, Medicare and Medicaid took the decision to cover acupuncture for chronic lower back pain. And in response to the national opioid crisis, governmental and medical organisations in the US have called for broader insurance coverage of acupuncture to improve access to non-pharmacologic pain therapies, especially for people with cancer, where undertreatment of pain is prevalent. Further, a 2021 report found that acupuncture is now covered by multiple US insurance providers. For insurers, client choice informs their decisions, and some will prefer holistic therapies that are cheaper than a private consultant. A scoping review of acupuncture insurance coverage in the United States found that consumer demand, state mandates, and efforts to reduce opiate use were motivations for insurance companies to cover acupuncture. This also highlights the duality of acupuncture being in the private sector, where choice and affordability are central to its use, compared with the need to manage public healthcare resources through mechanisms such as NICE in the UK. A 2015 study in a hospice setting looking at perceptions that prevent acupuncture uptake concluded that from the acupuncturist and hospice staff perspectives, insurance coverage or funding for acupuncture, lack of knowledge of acupuncture as a therapeutic modality, and perceived insufficient evidence base for acupuncture are primary barriers to the use of acupuncture in hospice care. It appears that these perceptions are still relevant just under a decade later. However, the landscape does look like it is changing. COVID-19 has disrupted healthcare delivery and made the previously impossible possible. Is it time to be more assertive about the evidence base, to share the benefits and push the door further open, so that many more patients can have access to an integrated approach? The BMJ publication would suggest that there is sufficient evidence, but that evidence may not be reaching the places it needs to in order to inform health policy and to become more widespread practice. Informing those determining health policy, insurers and clinicians, is another valuable tool that can persuade them to offer acupuncture. It can't be assumed that they will be aware of the latest research. Awareness raising and education about the evidence base for acupuncture as an integrative treatment modality, as well as improved funding structures, are needed. The range of barriers to overcome are multifactorial, so there is a need for greater collaboration to address the challenges of funding, regulation, and evidence, and to take advantage of plans such as those for cancer services to demonstrate how complementary therapies can help achieve the stated goal in these policies. The opportunity is there for the taking.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station, and I am just so thrilled and very, very grateful that you are supporting Acupuncture Point this week. Now, yes, it feels like we're in the never-ending winter, doesn't it? Or at least it does. Or at least this is what I'm feeling, broadcasting as I am from London in the UK. So I thought that I wanted to dangle a little bit of hope in front of you, just to remind us all that spring is around the corner. And as I'm a five element practitioner, I wanted to talk about spring and the element of wood. Because this is one of the philosophies that underpins everything that I do. Spring is associated with the wood element, and this is one of the five elements. The five being wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. So many people will wonder how spring reveals to us the essence of the wood element. So basically, I'd like you to close your eyes and to think about what happens in springtime. And some of the images that come to us are, well, birth, regeneration. It's all of those wonderful green shoots which surge out of the stillness of winter. There's a real energy to the season of springtime, a real dynamic force. And this is the thing that brings life and vigour to everything and every part of our lives. If you think about what actually happens in springtime, it is pretty miraculous, isn't it? Every springtime, new life bursts forth from the frozen, dead and pretty miserable looking earth. So the seeds will push their way through the earth, and that's with real huge strength. If I was actually reflecting on this as I was sitting outside, wrapped up, I know, drinking a warm drink outside, and I looked at my little patio, and there was a weed that had managed to grow in between, in the middle of nothing. Wood energy is about finding a way to make things happen, even if there's no mud, even if there's no soil. Wood energy will find a way around this. Plants unfold, they burst into growth as the springtime starts to warm up the air, and also there are more longer hours of daylight. So let's have a look at some of the other transformations that happen. If you happen to live in the countryside, you might notice all of these lovely little spring lambs. You know, all of the young animals grazing. After the silence and muffled sounds of wintertime, springtime becomes noisy and exuberant as things start to happen all of a sudden. And even the colour changes. Do you notice that? Visualise it. What happens in the springtime? Everything is really dark during winter. Springtime comes, bright green everywhere you look. And as we describe this season, we're going to think of some other sorts of words, things like flexibility, vigour, birth, regeneration. And it's such a wonderfully vital quality, this season of spring. But we can also notice that if we don't have this quality, then living, just life generally, is unimaginable. So let's now take a look into the heart of the element of wood. And again, we just want to look at the character of the growth and the regeneration which we find. So it isn't unchecked vitality. And to describe springtime as when everything just happens and... No, the true nature of springtime is a time when the seed within it, it unfolds according to a specific blueprint. Just as the fertilized egg bears within it the blueprint of a bird or of the animal, the springtime which urges both of these to develop from seed to adult, it sees the fulfillment of an inner purpose, the following of a predetermined, precise plan. We're heading towards a blueprint. So there are just some of my reflections on the season of springtime and of the wood element, and I hope that this is reminding you that we're not always going to be staying in this really rather bleak midwinter. We'll be right back. So, my dears, how did you do? Were you able to crack this week's cryptic game of themes? Of course you were. In honour of its, well, it's blooming freezing cold, isn't it? That is the solution. It's freezing cold outside. So we started off with Madonna and her song Frozen. We had Bryan Adams and his song Everything I Do. And this, I Can See Clearly Now, from the wonderful film Cool Runnings. And on that note, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I will see you again next week. Lots of love. Goodbye.